This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The Texas town of West is right up I-35 on the other side of Waco from San Antonio. Today, the town is in mourning and in shock. The folks there trying to figure out what happened when a local fertilizer factory caught fire there just last night and exploded. The casualty list there is still not clear. So we're going to try and get the latest for you. Becky Fogel is a reporter from the Texas Public Radio Station in Waco, KWBU. Becky, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, Becky, so tell us, what do we know right now about the casualties?
Sure. So this morning, they basically have released the numbers. 5 to 15 casualties are predicted. They haven't confirmed what those casualties are, even though it's presumed, and it's been somewhat stated that 3 to 5 of those casualties could be firefighters and first responders, but throughout the entire morning and up until this afternoon, they have been emphasizing that they cannot confirm the number of deaths. They're not releasing any names. They're just saying about 5 to 15 individuals could have died. They did have one firefighter who was unaccounted for, and they did locate him. He was injured and described as being in serious condition, but they were able to locate a firefighter who previously was unaccounted for.
And I understand they're doing a house-by-house search in the neighborhood also.
They are. The scene here, it's been cordoned off. They haven't really been letting reporters get to the immediate area around the explosion. But the understanding is about 5 blocks have just been leveled and severely houses that are destroyed. And again, throughout the morning, they have really emphasized saying this is a search and rescue mission right now. We are trying to find people who are still trapped. We're not calling this a recovery mission yet. They really are trying to go house by house and see if there's anybody that are still trapped inside the buildings at this time.
Now, it's unusual that they had this first fertilizer factory right next door to a middle school and nearby this nursing home. As you talk to people, is there anybody who had, did they know about the potential for an explosion there before? Is this a surprise to people who lived in West?
You know, I actually have to say I was surprised. I talked to an owner of a pharmacy in town, and he has been in West for a very long time, and he said that actually the fertilizer plant predates the school in that area and also predates some of the houses. He was saying he couldn't remember if the nursing home was there first or not, but the fertilizer plant, as he recalled it, had been there, and then it was sort of built up around it. I will say that there is a letter circulating from the West Independent School District that shows that in February of this year, there was a small fire in the fertilizer plant, and so a letter went out to the West School District saying, you know, there had been a fire in the plant, so we had evacuated the school as a precaution. There was no damage to the school, but I think there's some understanding that there was somewhat a potential for this or the danger of fires at the least.
Wow, so there was a fire. So what caused the fire that started the explosion that happened last night?
I don't know that they're clear on the details right now. They have been treating it as a criminal investigation, as a crime scene, although they have been careful to say we have no reason to believe that there was any criminal intent behind the fire, but until we know otherwise, we're going to treat this as a criminal investigation. So I don't know that they've come out and said exactly how the fire started.
All right, Becky. So, and as of right now, we're still unclear about the casualty numbers. That is something that we have to wait and see for, right?
Yes, and there is a press conference scheduled to happen in about 20 or 30 minutes, and Greg Abbott will be appearing here in West.
Okay, well, Becky, we look forward to hearing your reporting on that story. Thank you so much for your help. This is Becky Fogel. She is a reporter for a Waco NPR station, WKBU. Thank you so much, Becky.
Thank you.
All right, so let's go on to Texas Governor Rick Perry has also weighed in on what's happening with the fire and explosion in West. He had a press conference earlier today. Texas Public Radio's reporter, Austin correspondent Ryan Poppy, joins us live from Austin. He covered that press conference. Ryan, what is Rick Perry saying?
Well, right now he is not making any really conclusive statements. He said that he will be flying over the blast site. He's not stopping at this point to kind of a boots-on-the-ground assessment of what's going on, but a lot of things are very fluid there, so I'm not sure that they would even allow him in the area. But I know that he is doing a flyover to kind of see the damage. He mentioned the amount of homes that were affected, somewhere in the number of 75 homes, some of them leveled to the ground. He didn't really go into a lot of details just because they're still investigating this thing.
So let me ask you, Bill, Ryan, let me ask you about the TCEQ, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. What are they saying about the fertilizer factory that was there and other potentially explosive factories that are across the state that are near residential homes?
Well, what we know, in 2006, this particular facility did get a small ding from the TCEQ. They had a complaint from some neighboring resident about an odor drifting through the air. So TCEQ came out and investigated that incident. And during that time, they found out that the facility did not have the proper permits in place. So it was a small write-up. They asked them to go ahead and get those permits, which they complied. They also got, I believe it's a nuisance air quality permit is what it was called, as far as the odor goes. But since then, they haven't really had any incidents with the facility. Of course, a follow-up to that is the TCEQ doesn't come out to a facility and inspect it unless there is a complaint.
So this is an area that is a very low regulated in the state of Texas.
It would seem that way. It would seem that way. And, you know, doing a little bit of research on my own, I looked into there's a nonprofit out there that sort of looks at security issues for chemical plants. The name of the group is called American Progress. And they've listed this facility in West is one of the more dangerous chemical plants as far as it being attacked or someone using it to, you know,
or some sort of accident.
Take a lot of lives.
Or
yeah, exactly, or some sort of accident. So that's one of the places. We know that there's about 108 of these facilities throughout Texas. Most of them actually center around South Central Texas and on down the Gulf Coast.
So people could be living near one of these, have one in their neighborhood, not even be aware of it. All right, Ryan Poppe, thank you so much. Reporting live from Austin, covered the Governor Rick Perry press conference that he had earlier today regarding the explosion out in West. We're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to hear about a similar explosion, the one that's reminiscent of this explosion in West, one that happened in Texas City. You know, it's astonishing, the similarities. We'll be right back. This is The Source on KSTX. This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the West, the town of West explosion happened last night. Today, recovery, search and rescue going on, trying to figure out what happened, trying to figure out what is the damage. I couldn't help but remember the stories of the Texas City explosion, and that was totally leveled that town. Bill Minutaglio wrote the book, literally, about that explosion. He wrote the book City on Fire. And Bill, welcome to The Source. And what did you think when you heard about the town of West? Did you immediately remember your book and what happened out there?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Couldn't help but think about it. I've been telling, you know, some friends, it's just positively negatively redundant. It seems that you know, we have these kinds of conversations and news accounts. They seem to come up with some regularity. I don't know what the cycle is or who keeps that list, but surely, yeah, dating as far back as 1947 when the Texas City disaster occurred, there have been other incidents, and they often seem to have a lot of similarities.
So tell the tale of what happened in Texas City in 1947.
Sure, yeah, I'll try to summarize real quickly. It was April, ironically, it was April 16th, so just really a day before what had happened in West Texas, but in April 16th, 1947, there was an explosion of ammonium based fertilizer in Texas City, which is a small town, as a lot of your listeners know, in between Galveston and Houston on the coast. Ironically, the ammonium nitrate that was being processed there was, as I said, it was fertilizer, and it was being sent to Europe to revitalize the bomb-ravaged farms and fields of Europe. It was 1947, so just shortly after World War II, and in an act of benevolence, and then as well, frankly, some enlightened self-interest, the United States was sending fertilizer there. I say enlightened self-interest because we wanted folks there to be predisposed to like us and not the Soviet orbit. So we were helping them, rebuild their fields. We were also, reaching out to them and building a bridge, I suppose, leaning to us as opposed to the Soviet Union. But in a nutshell, there was an accident. The consensus is that someone was smoking, flipped a lit cigarette on top of 3,000 tons of ammonium nitrate. They were warehoused in 100-pound sacks, 100-pound bags. The bags, by the way, only said fertilizer on it. There was no warning. It just simply said fertilizer in parentheses underneath. It said ammonium nitrate and then made in the USA. So there was no warning, no government label, nothing to indicate danger. Somebody flipped a cigarette into a ship hold, the lower berth of a ship, where some of the bags were, and that was it. Children who were at school in downtown Texas City at the time, it was early in the morning, they were looking out their window, and they saw, it's really unusual, but sort of beautiful smoke coming from the waterfront area where the ammonium nitrate was stacked up, ready to be shipped. It was a sort of purple hued, orange hued, unusual, almost magical looking. And as they were staring out there, all hell broke loose. A lot of people thought it was Judgment Day. When I interviewed folks, they called it the end of time. As you said, pretty flatly stated, the town was pretty much leveled. Almost 600 people died. 5,000 people were wounded. Planes were sucked out of the sky. There were a couple of small planes flying overhead, just literally sucked down into the maelstrom. There was a tidal wave in the basin. 1,000-pound hunks of metal went hurling for miles. So it was just unbelievable. And to go back to your first question and observation, as I heard about West and then have been listening, your very eloquent guests and observers and reporters on the ground, that it could be 1947 all over again. The proximity to housing, to houses of worship, to schools, and then, frankly, the lack of awareness. It got into a gray area in Texas City after 1947, a very gray area. A lot of folks there were, I suspect, probably reminiscent of folks in West, very hardworking people, very patriotic. In fact, in Texas City, a number of military veterans in 1947, folks who had come home from the war and began processing fertilizer, shipping it, working with it in a way. And they searched for answers. These are folks not predisposed, I think, to question the government a whole lot. But in the wake of that disaster and what had happened, it seemed like a natural and an authentic and honest response. They began saying, shouldn't we have been warned? Should we have been put in danger in some way, not alerted? Should this stuff have been processed, moved, warehoused, made anywhere near where people live and where kids go to school? So I think, we're hearing and beginning to see a lot of those questions emerge in West, and as I said, it's really really almost like 1947 again.
Right. So we don't bring up what happened in Texas City, the blast, as people there call it, just to bring up a curiosity, a coincidence. It's to lay the foundation that people knew there is a history here of this material being very volatile, and when something goes wrong, it goes wrong very badly.
Oh yeah, no, you're that's very well stated and very economical. That's it in a nutshell. In fact, in 1947, there had been a lengthy history, well documented history, in government circles and sort of elevated science circles, you know, in the chemistry industry, the chemical industry, rather. So people knew, and in 1947, it's quite a while ago now, and there have been other instances, and you'll forgive me for not knowing whether other of your reporters and guests have brought this up, but Timothy McVeigh, if your consensus opinion is that he was guilty of blowing up the federal building in 1995, then you also believe and know that he used ammonium nitrate to do it. In the first attack, the lesser-known attack on the World Trade Center in 1993 in New York City, ammonium-based nitrate fertilizers were at the heart of that investigation as well. So it's not anything that's not known. Maybe the scientists, the government officials, both local, you know, state and federal, have been aware of its incendiary capabilities. I call it a Janus based chemical compound, and by that I simply mean it's really almost a magically successful fertilizer. When I was interviewing people for my book, they were saying you just throw that stuff on the ground and crops pop out, and yet it has this other twin, you know, capability.
Highly volatile substance. You wrote the book City on Fire. You also wrote some other books, but you're also a journalism professor at the University of Texas at Austin, and you write a column for the Texas Observer about journalism. So what do you think journalists should be doing? What questions should be asked and demanded of Texas and our regulatory agencies in regards to the disaster in West?
Always good to flatter the host of a show that I might appear on, but I want to congratulate you for asking that question. It's really one that that I think should be posed to journalists. You know, what are you going to do? What will you ask? Will you move beyond the sort of the surface symptomatic coverage? That needs to be done. And by that I mean, you know, obviously the breaking news on the ground, that has to be done. We need to be served that way. But now with this negative redundancy, as I call it, the fact that every so often, and again, I haven't laid out a spreadsheet to take a look at all of the chemical fires and explosions that have occurred, over, say, the last 100 years, but there have been many, dozens, and there has been loss of life.
Many in Texas. There was one in College Station not that long ago. So
absolutely. And in 2005, there was Texas City had to endure another disaster beyond the original and more famous or infamous Texas City disaster in 1947. There was another one in 2005 with great loss of life. Not as great, but still too much. So
that was the BP refinery explosion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was hydrocarbon vapors as opposed to fertilizer.
So here we are. We have this these bombs that went off at the Boston Marathon, and people are demanding answers. We want to know who did it and how we're going to prevent these things from happening again. And are we going to see that same level of intensity of we need results, we need some sort of guarantee or reassurances that something will change to prevent this from happening in the future when it comes to West?
Yeah, I'm afraid to say, and I'm not a good forecaster, but I'm afraid to say that we won't get to that level. I think.
But we just heard from our reporter Ryan Poppy that there's 107 of facilities like this scattered across Texas.
Exactly. Yeah. I was listening in, and my jaw was dropping when I heard that good reporting. We know this. We all know it, and this is divorced from how any of us vote or feel politically. But we live in a state that resist, historically, politically, culturally, it resists questions, looks with skepticism at federal oversight. That's not any great thunderclap. But again,
didn't we see in Dallas a couple of years ago, like some sort of acetane tank explosion that was in a neighborhood? So this is not that unusual.
No, it's not. It's in a sad kind of way. It's part of the DNA in the state. These are predictable. I could fairly well go to the bank with telling you that what happened in West is it's not the end. There'll be others. It's just too prevalent. And frankly, what happens, as always, is that there is a bit of a challenge, a pressing, and people try, and journalists do try to do a good job, more often than not, I would say, to press government officials and say, hey, what are you going to do? Isn't this proof that we need, require some healthy examination of existing oversight and regulation? And as it seems to happen, you know, regrettably, those questions are asked less and less, and the answers are less clear, and we're back to where we are until you and I have this conversation the next time around.
So back to Texas City, they still have memorial services each year talking about the blast and the people who rose to the occasion, the heroes of the day, but still, and I'm sure they'll start having memorial services at West going forward and talking about their great first responders, but we still need to look forward to the future of what can be done to prevent this from happening again, or having some sort of safeguard, or allowing the neighborhoods to know the risk that they're living in.
Yeah, that's, you know, well said again. In Texas City, these were not folks who were predisposed to wake up in the morning and challenge the government at any level. You know, they went ahead, the folks in Texas City coalesced to file a lawsuit against the government, and they did it out of
All right.
Pure needy.
Bill, thank you so much. Bill Minutaglia wrote the great book, City on Fire. I highly recommend it. It's a great tale talking about the explosion in West. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about child abuse in Bexar County is at an all-time high. We want to hear your questions and comments. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be back after the news.